Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
When you start pursuing a political agenda at the expense of your shareholders, that's not just impacting very wealthy people. It impacts hardworking people who were police officers, firefighters, and teachers in terms of the pension. So what we're doing, since we do have these shares, we believe that when you take your eye off the ball like that, you're not following your fiduciary duty to do the best you can for your shareholders. So we're going to be launching an inquiry about Bud Light and InBev, and it could be something that leads to a derivative lawsuit filed on behalf of the shareholders of the Florida Pension Fund, because at the end of the day, there's got to be penalties for when you put business aside to focus on your social agenda at the expense of hardworking people.
Well, I think that's a pretty good idea. I'm glad that somebody's doing it. I'm glad that Florida's doing it. Welcome to the show, the radio program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen to the radio show coast to coast, which is the first priority. And then, of course, you can stream it. You can watch a simulcast, all of that other stuff. We got a lot of things to wrap up as we roll into the weekend. And so that was the remark yesterday. That was from Governor Ron DeSantis. And also, you know, we and I like that what he, because he's talking about ESG, he's talking about, you know, all of this other stuff. He was making remarks on the ongoing Biden stuff as well. And the whole issue with, this investigation, the two hearings, et cetera, everything else that was going on. I'm already done with the primary, though. Who else is with me? Anyone who sits here and runs their mouth to me about the primary, particularly if it's online, I honestly just want to hit them. I'm just done. I'm already done with it. And we're not even into the bulk of it. We're not even into the bulk of it yet. The thick of things. So I thought that was a good deal. I thought that was a good remark. Now, some of the other stuff that we have that we're watching for you today, I don't care about the Trump stuff. I really don't, because it's just all lawfare. It's the same thing. I don't have any expectation of any kind of fairness or anything else. That the headline that came out, I saw this late yesterday, was how the documents, the trial is set for May of 24. So that's right before the primary vote, just a few months before the primary vote, and right before the 2024 election. I mean, I'm sure it's just entirely convenient, right? Very, very convenient. So that's that Judge Aileen Cannon, who is been presiding over this indictment. You know, they accused him of classified. I will say that case. I mean, I don't think he did himself any favors in that. He didn't do himself any favors. And I think, too, when you saw some of the photos with how some of the things were stored, I'm like, reading material? I don't know. But that came out late yesterday, that it's going to be in May of 2024 when that trial takes place. So, and that's going to be a circus. I don't know what their point is in delaying it that long. That seems unusual to have it delayed that long, right? Yeah, I mean, that seems unusual to me to have it delayed. So because that means if the trial starts, because they're going to be going through, you know, discovery, all of a sudden they're going to be going back. There's going to be so much stuff leaked up before then. It's going to be already tried in the court of public opinion before that even happens. So to me, it's just weird that it's delayed to that extent. I was seeing this other headline today. Keeping in mind with all of that, there was this survey that came out, and this is a Quinnipiac poll. And I was looking at this, I'm like, I don't know. They said that 47% of American voters are willing to consider a third party candidate, and that they expect. Now, this was, I glanced at some of the crosstabs, the makeup of this, and I mean, it's a little oversampled because you had this significant 47% saying that that climate change also factors into this. No Republican voter is going to say anything like that. No Republican voter is going to say anything like that. But I do think it's kind of interesting because if it's oversampled and they're saying that nearly half of these voters are going to consider a third party presidential candidate, that's a significant number of Democrats that are going to consider a third party presidential candidate. And so everybody's been floating Joe Manchin's name. You know, everybody's looking over at the Republican side and the slap fights, et cetera, that have been happening over there. But not enough people are paying attention to what's been happening on the Democrat side of things, because Joe Biden, I mean, there were a couple of stories that came out. One of them was saying that the stairs to the, where's the story at? The stairs to, what is it? Air Force One. Weren't they redone? Didn't they redo those stairs to make them like wider or something like that? Because he was falling up them all the time. Yeah. So they redid the stairs, and they've really been controlling press, because you heard how they kicked out. What is it? They kicked out a Daily Signal reporter. Daily Signal's like no longer involved in any of the White House. They're not going to be at the White House briefings. They got their stuff pulled. There's a number of other reporters that are getting their access pulled. So that, to me, it's like they're battening down the hatches. It's like they're getting ready to campaign out of the basement all over again. Yeah. Now, it's interesting, too, because this poll, these registered voters gave Biden a negative 40 to 53% job approval rating. And it was the economy that was driving it more than anything, more than foreign policy, more than all of this other stuff. They said that 64% think that supporting Ukraine is in the national interest of the United States. Great job, neocons. Really, really happy, neocons, that you were able to do that. So that is the latest, and it was over 800 samples, so it was a pretty significant, because they sampled over 2,000 adults, so that actually may count for something. But the big thing, as this was happening, because yesterday we had RFK Jr. who went out and was doing the hearing with the the committee name is almost fake to me, but I'm glad we have it, the weaponization of government, the subcommittee on the weaponization of government. And we had all these family members that started coming out that no one was asking about, right? So the other kid that came out, or the other, he's like 30 something years old. How many damn Kennedys are there? The other Kennedy that came out, this is the Kennedy who is the daughter's name, the daughter's son. It is JFK Jr.'s nephew, Jack Schlossberg. And he came out, he's like 30 something years old. He's a Nepo baby. You know, he's came out and was, I guess, sitting in his car, taking a video of himself running his mouth about his, what is it? Not his uncle. It's his cousin. It's like his second cousin, right? Yeah. His second cousin. So he's sitting in his car and he's running his mouth about what his second cousin had said. And he's focusing in on the comments that he's making about the coronavirus engineering, etc. First off, that's the most unflattering angle that I've ever seen in my life that someone gave. It's the most unflattering ever. It is the most unflattering angle. He's sitting in his car and you can see up his nose. And then he's going off on RFK Jr. And it is a nightmare. It just looks goofy. It looks silly. It looks so silly. It's so silly. So he did this. This went out. This was like the big story at Daily Mail. It was, you know, really is just goofy. It's like the top story. Imagine, you know, you're 30 something years old and you're doing this like way too close up video of yourself where you can see up your nose. I don't even know why he needed to comment on it, because I just get the feeling that none of these people have anything to do with him. And he slammed RFK Jr. for trading on Camelot, were the words, trading on Camelot, which I feel like that's what that Schlossberg 30 something year old Nepo baby is trying to do. I mean, he's the one who's trading on Camelot. Didn't he already try to run for office? Or was that another Kennedy? Was that the other Kennedy? All the Kennedys do is they basically get their way paid into law school. They go and they become, they don't have any other skills. They go and they become progressive lawyers, and then they sit around waiting for a seat to open up. That seems like the entire, that's like their entire lifespan. That's like all they do. That seems like all they do. So they're, I know some are saying that they think that RFK Jr. is, I think they worry about him compromising somehow Joe Biden. I don't think that he's compromising Joe Biden. I think what they're upset about is he seems to be, it seems to be inconvenient for the party because he's bringing up, I mean, specifically only solely on the coronavirus, but it's a big thing. He's bringing up something that compromises their narratives and makes, he's an obstacle to them. I don't think he's challenging Biden, but I think that he is an obstacle to the party narrative is what ultimately I think that's the problem that they're having, because he could affect a number of races, not so much, you know, the White House. I mean, I do think it's kind of weird that he's, you know, he goes on Fox and he goes on all these other networks. Nobody asks him any of the other questions about the stuff that he says. Like, they focus, that's great. I mean, how many times are you going to sit here and talk to the guy about coronavirus? I mean, holy hell, how many times are you going to sit here and talk to the guy about the same thing? Why don't you ask him why he said gun owners have blood on their hands? Why don't you ask him if he thinks that, still thinks that climate change deniers should be in jail? I mean, this is the stuff that I, you know, it's like, if you're going to sit here and parade this guy in front of Red America, why don't you ask him questions about the stuff that he said he'd imprison Red Americans for supporting? I mean, it seems, you know, it just seems like common sense. I mean, I get it. Everybody's got, you know, everybody's playing the role of a fluffer at some point, you know, in this whole ridiculous race. But it just seems to me really disingenuous. I'm disillusioned. I can't take any of this stuff seriously. It's just, even news media, it's just a joke. It's all a joke. It's all theater. So now you can see why people are thinking, well, maybe a third party candidate. Now, unfortunately for Democrats, it's going to be, it'll be Newsom. Man, he is like a, what was that kid's show? Was it Crazy? No, that was the horrible band. Where they all look like they're made of plastic.
Oh yeah, we were talking about this the other day. And then Sportacus was the guy.
It was a, it was supposed to inspire kids to get fit.
Lazy Town.
That's what it is. Yeah, it was supposed to inspire kids to get fit, and it ended up giving them nightmares, I think. So I don't know, but this is all, I don't know. I think it's crazy. Listen to this audio soundbite 3. House Democrats were saying that they didn't censor RFK Jr., but then they also simultaneously argued that he had no right to testify before Congress. Listen.
I don't think you want to bring bigots before the Congress, but apparently that's par for the course with this majority.
We were trying to make sure that he didn't cause more harm with his outrageous testimony.
I don't think he's being censored. He can say whatever he wants and wherever he wants.
You guys were literally
but he doesn't get a right to testify before a committee of Congress.
Oh, that's not censorship. Censorship would not be allowing someone to speak. He can speak. That doesn't give him necessarily the ability to have to do it in the halls of
Congress. I love how they're like, well, he can speak. We just don't want to let him. Right. But you were just saying that censorship was if you don't allow somebody to speak. Yes, well, we didn't want to let him. We don't want to let him speak. Seems like that's a little bit of a problem. We have a lot more on the way, including the big thing that came out yesterday, that report, the FD 1023 form. On the allegations of bribery on the Biden family. Grassley, House Oversight, released it. And it we read some of it yesterday, the quotes from these Ukrainian oligarchs. I just don't know how, with everything that you have, everything that we've seen, how this has been buried. They didn't talk about it again last night. I don't know how you don't have an impeachment after this. I mean, yes, Trump was impeached for less. I mean, nothing, actually, but, you know. Caltech invented the concealed carry category years ago with the P-11, but did they stop there? Heck no. One innovation just led to another and another, and, well, just look at their latest, the P15. It's the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market at only 14 ounces and 7/8 inches wide. The P15 has a 4-inch barrel and double-stack magazine that holds 15+1 total capacity. Its gator grip texture on the polymer version increases stability and makes for ambidextrous grip safety and easy, accurate handling. If you prefer a more vintage look, choose the metal version with classic wood panels and textured grips. The P15 has a Tritium Plus fiber optic front sight with a fully adjustable Tritium 2-dot rear to keep you on target in any situation. Make the P15 your choice for concealed carry. Learn more at KeltechWeapons.com. Sign up for the Keltec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories at KeltechWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com.
Your wages rising? Twitter stepped in to correct one of Biden's tweets claiming wages are higher. As food prices continue to soar, could this be why Biden's approval ratings on the economy are in the low 30s? Where should you turn to get real info on the power of your dollar? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
We don't have enough crooners left in the world, so we don't need them to be going anywhere dropping off anymore. I think they just have the responsibility to live forever, because if I have to listen to some other auto-tuned poplet sing like some prefab song, I'm going to throw myself off the highest cliff in America. Okay, that brings us to Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett's passed away, age 96. Apparently, like a week ago, he was like, apparently giving a little performance for his family in his living room at his piano. So he was doing pretty well right up. He's lived a long and happy life. He was in a wheelchair, thought towards the end of June. They have some, it's always weird when they're like, here are the last pictures of this person. Like, stop. This is weird. Stop it. 96 years old. He lived a long and happy life. Also, U.S. ambassador to China was hacked in a China-linked spying operation via the Wall Street Journal. It also compromised the State Department official who oversees East Asia. What are they doing? What are they doing over here? You have one job. You know who you're... if you're the ambassador, you kind of know what you're dealing with over there. Daniel Crittenbrink was the assistant secretary for East Asia. He was also hacked in this cyber espionage attack. They don't even know, like, the full details of it. They think it's just limited to unclassified emails, but they think... They have no idea. Nobody knows what's going on because everybody's too busy covering everything in rainbows and talking about pronouns instead of being, I don't know, a little bit more prepared for a geopolitical foe. The Washington Examiner says that Amazon is bringing revolutionary payment technology to all Whole Foods stores. So it's going to be contactless palm scanning technology called Amazon One. It's going to, my grandmother just reanimated, just came out of the grave to say that's of the devil. That's what she would totally do if she could. They said it's going to scan your hovering hands. I don't like that.
No.
I don't even like the thing when I have to go through customs and it looks at your face. I don't even like that. And they're like, ma'am, you got to look at it. I mean, I can't stand it. Like, my DNA will not allow me to, like, comply. It's very difficult for me. And Short Stack down in North Korea apparently spends $30 million a year on Hennessy and other high-end spirits. Wow. Stick with us. We got more in store. Media malpractice.
Folks, do you believe in our founders' vision for America, that our republic will only survive if we are an educated and informed people who know our rights and duties? Since 1844, Hillsdale College has sought to educate all who wish to learn about these timeless principles of self-government. For more than 50 years, the college has worked to spread that mission by sending Imprimis, their Digest of Liberty, to millions of Americans, including me. Imprimis features some of the best speeches given at Hillsdale events, and now an audio version of the popular Speech Digest is available in a new podcast of the same name. And like the printed publication, Imprimis the podcast is always free. You can hear the best arguments from speakers such as Christopher Rufo, Mark Stein, and Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn, among many others, all read by Hillsdale students. Visit DanaForHillsdale.com to subscribe today and start listening to Imprimis today, all for free. To listen, visit DanaForHillsdale.com. That's DanaForHillsdale.com.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
He is trying to seek the truth wherever it may lead. I use that quote. It's a quote from Thomas Jefferson. He went to the University of Virginia School of Law. We should seek truth wherever it may lead. You just raised the issue about this anti-Semitism slur. Think about it. They literally believe the American people are going to buy into the idea that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is an anti-Semite. That is complete and total garbage.
Why do I care? Now, wait a minute. Hear me out. Hear me out. Welcome back to the show. I was thinking about this. Now, yes, I am a cynic. And I immediately always expect the worst so that I can be pleasantly surprised when it doesn't happen, right? I feel like that's an optimism thing. You know what I mean? Like, you expect the worst, even if you think that there's probably going to be a chance where it's not going to be the worst, and then you get something good, you're like, oh, treat for me, right? That's like an act of optimism. So that was our good friend Chip Roy from the awesome Republic of Texas. I'm curious about this. I'm also curious. I'm gonna ask we always have a discussion that goes on every day over at YouTube, and we have one at Facebook. And I'm curious from I'd like to know what those folks think too about this. Like let's discuss a thought here. So RFK Jr., Democrat, is being accused by other Democrats of saying something anti-Semitic. Regardless of whether he said anything anti-Semitic or not, why are Republicans defending him? Why?
I don't see it as them defending him.
But they are.
No. They're defending him because he's the target. But I think they're actually pointing to and exposing a much larger effort by the government in its weaponization that they don't even mind going after their own if it goes against their narrative.
See, Kane is ever the optimist.
What?
You're an optimist.
What?
You're like, well,
there's nothing wrong with being an optimist.
Someone going after, that's how bad it all is. I just think broken clocks. I also think he's doubling down on it because this is a way for him to lift himself up out of any kind of obscurity with the Democrats' eye.
I understand where you're coming from. I don't dismiss him like you do as much. I am interested in what he has to say. Sure, he's been right, of course, on the clot shot, as you put it.
That's totally what it is.
That doesn't mean that I somehow align with him in every one of his philosophies.
No. I don't think you do.
Right,
for sure.
But I just think that this is not only incredibly telling about what the government's been doing, but they're willing to go to all the lengths necessary to keep a narrative that isn't theirs out of the mouths of anyone, including their own.
Yeah, but why don't we just let Democrats just go at it and let them like beat each other up?
Meaning just let them continue to censor and target the government?
Like, okay, here, case in point. This is going to sound weird, but roll with me. So, was playing a video game the other day. Have you ever played Back 4 Blood?
No, I've seen it.
Okay, it's definitely not for everybody.
No.
And at one point, you know, there's some baddies that you're fighting, and then there's the boss, right? You got a boss fight. Well, it's weird because the boss in the boss fight and the baddies, the other like lower level baddies, don't get along. And so the baddies were going after the boss. And I'm just like, wait a minute. I don't want to intervene here. Why don't you just let the lower level baddies take out the boss in the boss fight? And then we can just skedaddle on out. You know what I mean? Like just objective completed. I mean, that seems like a very Sun Tzu thing. You know, we didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to lose any resources. It just sort of took care of itself. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at this. You also have to realize that I am almost to a fault, really, of being completely clinical and unfeeling, strategic. I don't care. Like, I have one goal in mind. Whatever falls by the wayside is falls by the wayside. I want to be left alone. I want the size of government reduced. I'm done with, I think taxation is theft. And the ATF should be abolished. I just look at everything else as this is why it needs to. I'm just focusing on the strategy of it. So the whole issue, that's kind of how I look at it. Like you got, you know, Democrats fighting each other. They're occupied. Let them play. Let them do their thing. Let's, you know, we got our stuff to do. Like we could, in the meantime, we could be pointing out, wow, look, Democrats are just totally at war, civil war. That's what the left would do. The left would go, whoa, and they do. Republicans are at civil war. They keep hyping up this Trump and DeSantis thing. They make it seem like Trump and DeSantis disagree on some prime issues when they really don't.
But you're assuming the media would treat that the same as they do when it's on the right?
I think the media would treat it similar. I think the media would do a 180 if conservative commentators like myself, if, you know, well, or conservative leaning reporters or entities that are thought of as, you know, conservative. I think that they would, I think media would do a 180 if the conservative side started saying, wow, look at the civil war on the left, and try to position it as, here you have these adjacent entities on the left, and get it to where they almost have to defend him.
I predict the media would if that happened, what mm-hmm. you just described, the media would then say, Republicans pouncing on Democrat fracturing. Like, they wouldn't yeah. they wouldn't focus it on what you and I would definitely want them to focus on. They would focus on somehow Republicans seizing on this opportunity to slam Democrats.
I also think that Republicans missed a huge opportunity to say, look at this Democrat saying what all Democrats believe. You know, they really missed an opportunity there. And instead, you have people like, we got to save our gauge. We got to save this Democrat. I mean, that's a perfectly good weapon to use against your opponent. Why are y'all not doing it?
I don't see it like that. I don't see that.
Oh, man, I totally do.
I don't see that they're rah-rah.
Any chance I can get a dig in, man, I will.
Rah-rah for a Democrat. That's not how I see it. I see that if you, from the beginning on the narrative of COVID, has been completely controlled by the government. We've seen the receipts, the Twitter files, the hearings that prove the government hundreds of thousands of times connecting with Twitter and Facebook and the rest to take down the information on COVID, on the shot, on the boosters, on it all.
True.
And I think that's what really is where they're defending. I don't think they're just saying rah-rah to the Democrat. I think they're defending the idea that we need actual, you know, discourse in order to get to the truth, because the government cannot be trusted to give it.
Yeah. I still would be using it, though, as a weapon. Be like, look, I mean, this, you know, Democrats are in civil war over their own policies that they used. And where was RFK Jr.? When I don't know. This is how I would look at it strategically. I would use all of my resources for defense on my own side. And I would just use, you know, the unenforced errors on the left as a way to sharpen my tools. Yeah. I don't know. This is how I look at it. It's just so bizarre to me. Instead of, they got Republicans on defending RFK Jr. instead of talking about Hunter Biden. They got Republicans going out there, well, you should let him speak, instead of going, why didn't you let the American people speak? When you were literally suppressing speech over the laptop, the story that came out yesterday, the FBI knew they had the damn thing. When they were telling the government and social media, no, it's fake. They had it. This thing that we have in our possession, totally fake. That's what turns my butter, man. That's what gets it.
Well, both hearings to me just proves that the government will lie to you if it fits their agenda. So
that's why I feel like we should do the same.
Yeah. Well,
I'll totally lie to the government if it fits my agenda.
Fire with fire.
What? I didn't say that out loud.
But there's got to be a way to, you know, just solidify the idea of pushing back against what the government did from 2020 to 2022. In regards to lockdowns, keeping people from their own livelihoods, even putting people in jail for stuff like that.
Right.
That was ridiculous. And I think this is, you know, that weaponization hearing, I think was really motivated by all of that.
I just think it's so infuriating to me, because he said that there's data showing, you know, this, how the commies or whatever engineered this thing. And I didn't read that data. I don't know what the data shows or not. But if you're asking me whether or not I believe that communists in China that killed millions of their own people and literally created an unnecessary famine, if you're asking me if I believe that they would engineer something psychotic, the answer is yes. Because just look at their history. But we ended up talking about entirely that. I think there's ways you can bring stuff up to where you can rob your opponent of an opportunity to use it against you. And I think that that's messaging discipline that he lacks. I'm not saying to not talk about it, but I'm just saying that there's a way to talk about it and bring up different issues without allowing your opponent to use it against you. But I wish that everybody, every Republican that goes on television who's asked to talk about this, yeah, go ahead and agree to it. And then the second you get up there, you bring that tugboat right back to the Biden family crimes. You bring that tugboat right back to that shore. Because this has been, it's been a media blackout, even amongst conservative entities. Okay, well, I'm just saying, there's that. I mean, I just, to me, this is one of the biggest cover-ups, in addition to the COVID stuff, that we've seen. And I'm it's really unbelievable. I'm not saying that for a word to say. It's really unbelievable that you have all of this evidence, this information out here, and nothing. No charge. Everything's been reduced. No charges. And everyone's telling you, get over it. You're so overdramatic. You guys literally spent 2 years saying that there was a P tape that existed that never existed. Who's dramatic? Like, there's receipts here. Who's dramatic? We know the existence of these shell companies shuffling money around. Who's dramatic? Heavens. Now, we have a couple of other things I want to make sure to hit. Media malpractice, I was saying. I saw this New York Times story. This has been going around. And apparently people don't read. I don't know. They don't read. The headline is, Nebraska teen who used pills to end pregnancy gets 90 days in jail. They're going after this 19-year-old. She was charged because the way that the media is pushing it, they're saying that she was charged for having an abortion after the brutal, banning by Republicans. That's what they're saying. They're running with that narrative. In fact, I was pulling up a couple of stories that I saw here. They're running with that narrative. They, like, for instance, they're like, oh, anti-abortion folks swore they had no intention of going after women who get abortion. Sure. And it's a New York Times columnist who went on and on and on about how this, Republicans are going after women who are getting abortions. Oh, my goodness. What they miss in this story, because apparently nobody's reading it. And it's not behind this one's not behind a paywall. What they're missing about the story is that she's actually not being charged for having an abortion under the state's abortion law. Of course, you wouldn't know that until you read like 500 some odd words down into the story. It said, quote, prosecutors did not charge Celeste Burgess under Nebraska's abortion law. She was charged for the way she disposed of remains, skeletal remains. She was 30 weeks pregnant. She removed the remains and lit them on fire and then tried to hide it. Now, what the New York Times doesn't get into is that there is no country in the world that would not look at that as a chargeable offense. They're not charging her under Nebraska's abortion law. They even, like I said, had to reluctantly write that. But that's not the narrative that's gone out. It trended yesterday. I saw it everywhere last night. It was everywhere this morning. It was on memorandum. Everybody's amplifying that, this narrative. And they apparently didn't read the story. She was 30 weeks along, had a baby, and then they had the remains, set them on fire and tried to hide them. That's a chargeable offense anywhere in the world. So that's what she was charged for. And the thing is I don't think it would have been an article though, had they been honest about it. And what she did even before the Dobbs case, that was a chargeable offense. That was already an existing law. So the New York Times ran this piece. They buried the truth of it. And then the narrative blew up. And now that's the stupid narrative.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Call them police on gender normativity. Thank you, Craig. Are you manager? Obviously not. You lied about that.
That is my man. Would you Yeah, just call police.
I'm calling.
Yeah, just call them and they can handle it.
Leave.
So, what is your gender? Hey, lady, you sassy lady. Where that butt going? Lady. Come here, little girl.
Oh my gosh. She is mad because he won't call her sir. That's what this is all about. You know what Mr. Rogers had to say about it?
Boys are boys from the beginning. If you were born a boy, you stay a boy. Girls are girls right from the start. If you were born a girl, you stay a girl.
Thanks, Mr. Rogers. Yeah, I guess she missed that. But sir, so it's sir versus...
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
So it's sir versus it is ma'am. Who wins in that cage match?
Nobody.
The it's sir or it's ma'am. Who wins? Oh my gosh, why is that fight not happening? Why has nobody pieced that together? Like for a song, like they do with everything else, right? Like Bedroom Intruder, like why is that not one? We have a whole other second hour coming up here on the program. You don't want to miss because they're still going to Jason Aldean. Plus, we have, more Hunter Biden stuff. It's never good. Stick with us.
What was evoked for me, which was, you know, you're not going to get out of this town,
yeah,
are those sundown areas.
Yeah, don't let the sun
areas
go down on
because
your
there
ass.
Were, when here. There were times when black people... My mother's in the audience today. Thank you for coming. And my mother and father, because they were an interracial couple, were run out of South Carolina by the KKK. And my father is still scarred from that experience, and you are still scarred from that experience. So
we're
don't
all
tell,
still scarred from
yeah,
that experience.
So don't tell me that not only was he aware of what he was doing by using that imagery, he embraces that imagery.
Oh, for the love. That is so stupid. I'm so tired of this being the go-to, the default for progressives. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here, top of the second hour on this Friday. That was what's-her-face, Sunny Hostin or whatever from the Shmoo. Mm-hmm. So they're accusing, they keep going, they're still going after Jason Aldean for this song. And I'm just, I mean, I cannot believe that this is what they're so obsessed with. And they're like, oh, this is they're saying that, actually, they're demonstrating their bigotry. Because they're saying, well, because he's country artist, and he's probably in the South. He's talking about sundown towns. No, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Here's what really, really gets me about this. And I've written about it and I've talked about it a little bit before because I said there's nothing controversial about it. And I maintain that there's nothing controversial about this song because it is so dumb that people are freaking. It has nothing to do. I mean, nothing in the video has anything to do with race or in the lyrics. But like I said, progressives have been so damn desperate to make it about race because they want to deflect from the reality that most of the areas that their riots burned down or affected the worst were black communities. They want to ignore the fact that the cities that are affected the most by violent crime are generationally controlled black cities or Democrat cities, and black citizens suffer, like Chicago, my hometown of St. Louis. The stuff that he's condemning are like, you know, the stories like I told you, the guy selling ice cream in Oakland, 80-year-old man pushing his little ice cream cart. And broad daylight, he gets robbed three times, one time on camera, broad daylight. Or stories about people getting carjacked. And then, yeah, some of the riots. Why is it that whenever you show Democrats the violence in which they incite and participate in, you're condemning it, they say that you're encouraging it. They tried this with me when I did commentary, and I was literally condemning violence while I had literal actual video of the violent riots that they led in cities across the country in the wake of George Floyd. And they were like, oh, she's encouraging violence. By condemning it? That's how they try to get by it. They try to excuse it by rewiring what you think of it with this performative outrage. But what even gets me more about this is not even about Jason Aldean. This is about progressives thinking that minority Americans can't have community. Think about it. That's what he's talking about in the song, is community. And you don't necessarily have to be in a small town to have community. It's kind of an interchangeable sentiment. I mean, try that in a small town. Try that with anybody's community. Try that with a community of people that have each other's backs. And I think it also speaks that progressives don't believe, apparently, that Black Americans or Hispanic Americans or any other minority can live in a small town. I think the people that are pushing this have never been to a small town except to go to a wine country. That's it. That's the only time they go. They go to drink wine. And they ignore small towns any other time. But that's really what they're denying here. Their outrage over this song is their denial of community within minority Americans, or a denial of minority Americans being able to participate in any or be part of any community. I mean, ask yourselves, everybody, if that happened in your circle, if people were, you know, if that was your grandpa, 80 years old, pushing an ice cream cart, or if that was a grandpa in your area, y'all know you'd stick up for him. You knew you would. And I think that people like Sonny Hostin, they perpetuate the very bigotry that they pretend to condemn. You can't condemn bigotry while pushing it. You can't sit here and say that something's bad while you're actually trying to sell it. That's what they're doing. That's what she's doing. That's not to say that every community is perfect. It's not. No community is. Every area has its faults. Small towns are no exception. But there's a reason why, particularly when lockdown hit, where are all the people in the cities moving to? Think about it. All the headlines you've heard over the past couple of years, where are all the city dwellers moving? Everybody is moving to the country. It's like canned heat. It's going up country. Everybody's moving. There's been measurements of, from moving trucks, people moving to the country, everyone moving to small towns. They want to get away from the crime that they see in the city. They want to get away from the draconian lockdowns, like whether it's school, whether it's businesses, everything that happened, the high taxes. They want to get rid of all of it. They want to go to where it's free. It's like the places you'll go. It's opener there in the wide open air. That's where they're going. What it would have been, I mean, I'm looking at a ton of different headlines here that I've just saved over the years. People are moving to the country. People are moving to small towns. It's more affordable to live there. They think that it's less stressful than living in the city. It's Gen X, Z, and millennials. They are super happy. It's called the rural migration trend. And it has been at a hot pace. They said the increasing number of people are moving to small towns. You know, they're apparently so bad. If they're so bad, why is everybody moving to them? If they're so bad, why is everybody snapping up these old houses? If they're so bad, why are people chasing up property values in these small towns? It doesn't matter if it's, you know, Upper Peninsula in Michigan. It doesn't matter if it's Southern Missouri. It doesn't matter if it's out in Indiana. It doesn't matter if it's out in Ohio. It doesn't matter if it's in Alabama. It does not matter. Everybody has been moving to a small town. And one of the other things is that remote work, when lockdown proved that it could happen, that could work. You don't need to necessarily, not every job requires you to go into the office. So people are taking advantage of that. University of Arizona, their urban planning studies department actually looked at this and measured this dynamic. And they said that when the pandemic hit, small town living exploded. And it didn't even matter necessarily whether there was the infrastructure existing or not. They have high buying power and they'll make it happen. So that's been, I mean, this has been ongoing. So if it's real bad, if small towns are real bad as all that, if they're as real bad as the way the left is making them, why are people moving there? Why do people want to be a part of it? Another headline, Americans continue to move to smaller cities. The migration to smaller towns continues. Small towns drew the most new pandemic residents. Denver 7, people are moving out of small towns, or moving into small towns and out of cities. BBC, small cities and towns booming from remote work. I mean, on and on and on. U.S. News and World Report, small towns are becoming the most popular place to live in the United States. Young Americans are increasingly moving to small towns, Time Magazine. Business Insider, small towns in Florida are the most popular. Wonder why. Everybody's moving to small towns, the type that Jason Aldean is singing about. The other thing, too, that I think that this tantrum, this outrage that they're all having, is this is a continuation of an attack on a cornerstone of the United States. What is our motto? What's the motto of the country? E pluribus unum. Out of many, one. As I've said before, you can go anywhere else in the world. I was in Italy for 2 weeks. As much as I loved it, I can't say, oh, I'm Italian. Can't go to France and say I'm French. You can come to the United States and you can say you're American. Because it's not race that unifies. It's not religion that unifies. It's the desire to be free. That is the shared characteristic. Out of many, one. That is one of the scariest things to a communist. Because the United States motto is people who want to, it's about people who desire freedom, who come together. That's why they try to act like the phrase melting pot is somehow politically incorrect. That's the strength of the country. People willingly, willfully choosing this, not born into it, not here. It's they're choosing to be free, to remain free. If they didn't want to, they could leave. If they didn't want it, they could leave, but they don't. That's what that is mainly. It's an attack on the unity. They have to keep reminding people of past mistakes. That's why redemption, that's why with progressives, redemption is dead. Because redemption paves a way to forgiveness, all of that paves a way to reconciliation. They don't want reconciliation. Reconciliation leads to unity. Unity leads to strength. And strength with free people is a threat to statists and statism. That's why they're pushing this. Any opportunity that they can. It is an attack on E pluribus unum. That's what all of this is about. And it's sad. I mean, it's not working. His song is topping the charts. It's like one of the most downloaded things right now. And I think he's still going to go and he's still performing it. Well, good for him. But that is what all of this is, that's what all of this is about. It's not even about his song. It's not even about him. It's about attacking E pluribus unum, ultimately. Now, some of the other things that we're watching, too. This, we were talking about some of the immigration stuff yesterday. Let me pull this up. Do you remember when we had the conversation? Dan Crenshaw disagreed with us, and I don't think that he was accurate. The deadliest threat, they're saying, mass produced in China, trafficked from Puerto Rico, available for online, $1 a kilo. This is the zombie drug Trank. In addition to all of the inputs for opioids now the cartels have gotten sophisticated enough where they've taken that over from China. But now you got, it's manufactured in China. They're sending it out everywhere. It's this, that's what, have you seen the video where these people are like slumped over and they look like zombies? That's what it's apparently from Trank. I can't even say the name of it. It's known as Trank on the street. It's like xylazine or something like that. It's a zombie drug. They mix it with fentanyl. It can be mixed with fentanyl. DEA says it's one of the deadliest things that the country's faced. And it's apparently super popular in California right now. We're going to get into some of what the lack of border enforcement is contributing to.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Today in the lab-grown artificial meat may actually be worse for the environment. Who saw that coming?
I did.
It's a... this is so gross. It's called. It's a company that grows cell-based meat. It's called Good Meat, which is so ironic. And they said that they announced in June the USDA's approval to sell its products. But it's cultured animal cells. It's actually not good for the environment. They did a preprint study. UC Davis. And they found that the environmental impacts of lab-grown or cultivated meat are orders of magnitude higher than its actual natural counterpart.
What?
Mm-hmm. Scholars are mad. Student lists Apache attack helicopter as gender on engineering culture survey. Kudos to this student. The researchers wrote a paper that describes their experience while working on a survey about alphabet students in STEM. Nobody cares. It's in the bulletin of, transgender studies. Oh, shut up. Northwestern University. It's called Attack Helicopters and White Supremacy. And they said it was a malicious response. I think it's a funny response to an absolutely stupid question. Other responses include a V-22 Osprey and an F-16. Yay! I love those students. You guys know that I hate cruises because I get seasick and I just don't like to be in a confined space with a lot of people. And apparently now they're doing a nude cruise. That sounds terrifying and nasty. It's a Norwegian cruise line. I guess they got subcontracted out. Oh man. Wait, how do you make a cruise worse? There you go. Cook Political. They're changing their house ratings, and they're moving two house races, including Lauren Boebert's, into a toss-up category. Lauren Boebert needs to kind of be in her district raising money and meeting and greeting, because that's not good news. That's not, and the guy that's coming up after her that's raising money, he's out raising her, 3-1. And apparently the bar's lowered to make history. Some chick is now the newest alphabet lawmaker from South Carolina or something like that. I don't know. In Texas, she's supposed to be some first alphabet lawmaker from South to, I don't know. Nobody cares. Stay with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
To be brief, we have five major priorities at the Department of Transportation. Safety, which is the reason the DOT exists. Economic development, equity, climate, and innovation. And I always have a bit of an asterisk on the fifth, actually, because innovation is the one out of those five that's actually not a goal in itself. It exists only in furtherance of the other four. In other words, our approach on innovation is we care about it to the extent that it helps us with safety, economic growth, climate.
He has no idea what he's talking about. I mean, he's like a guy who he's got a paper due and he's got to stretch that word count out. He just says words, talks with his hands at secretary, mayor, whatever, transportation. Poop Booty Juice says that there are five major priorities at the Department of Transportation. Safety and economic development and equity and climate. What? Equity and what? Climate? What are you talking about? You have one job that you can't even do. What are you talking about? We have too much unnecessary garbage. In too much nonsense. Good heavens. Now, one of the other stories that we were looking at, because you have all of these, I think Buttigieg, I don't know what he's going to do after the election. If Biden doesn't win, say that, Biden doesn't win 2024, I have no idea what Poot's going to do, because he was a diversity hire. He's in that position. Obviously, we know this, without having any of the requirements that, what might be necessary to be in that position. What is he going to do after this? He can't actually go and do anything else. He can't run for office in Indiana. He already hit the ceiling on that. So what is he going to do? He's not going to be able to run for office anywhere else because he's not dynamic and he's too much of a, he doesn't try. He's no motivation. He doesn't seem to have any ambition. He's one of the guys who wants the title, but not the work. I hate that. Meanwhile, Gavin Newsom's quite different. He's sly, and I think he would appeal more to more moderate Democrats were it not for all of the stuff in California, were it not for all of the lockdown stuff in California. Because remember, there were a lot of people who went and wanted to recall him. There were a lot of celebrities who didn't like him. I mean, you know, there were a lot of those. There were a lot of celebrities that didn't like him. And he was pretty unpopular, especially when he was pictured at, what was it, French Laundry? Is that, that's where he was? Especially when he was pictured at French Laundry. So he doesn't have a lot of, I think he hemorrhaged some of the support that he would really need with a lot of the moderate folks. I don't know. But he's been super going after Texas. He's been going after Florida. He's been running this weird shadow campaign. Like, he's there waiting in the wings. And I get why, because the more that you see, like, I just watched this video of Biden when we were on break, for instance. He was taking some questions, and then a reporter asked him a question about something China. And he stumbled away from the podium. But it's the way that he walked away from the podium. He kind of shuffled. Yeah, Juan has this. I mean, listen to this. Listen to this audio. He was asked a question. He just kind of wandered off.
Mr. President, can you tell us about the hacking of cabinet officials by China and the threshold of concern you have about that, sir?
Ready?
Yes.
How are we getting these guys now? All
right. Did you see how he walked away from the podium, though? He walked away from the podium like somebody who doesn't, he can't really balance very well. He like walked away and he was just trying to keep his arms really straight in front of him. And he just, he doesn't, that's not being mean. He just doesn't look well. And I think it's getting worse. Kane, do you think that it's getting worse? Do you think that since he's been in office, does he look shakier now than he did when he first entered?
Yeah, I think that's true. But also during the campaign, I think they were hiding a lot of this. And I think we just didn't see it all, you know, and that's where I'm at with that.
I mean, they hit a lot of stuff with FDR. You know, nobody even knew he was in a wheelchair. I mean, they hit a lot of stuff with him. He's been, what was the headline that he had about, he went after Florida and he was going after abortion laws too. Here it is. And he, in Texas, he keeps going after Texas because of immigration. He's mad because Greg Abbott has been sending busloads of people who enter illegal immigrants over to California, you know, because they said they were a sanctuary state. So they said they wanted them, right? That's what that means. So there was this really stupid headline from CNN. They've really had some humdingers lately. And it says Texas's abortion restrictions, some of the strictest in the country, may be fueling a sudden spike in infant mortality. What does that even mean? What? Like, why? So, but what does it matter, though? I mean, and then he retweets it. He retweets it and says, Texas's infant death rate has gone up by 11.5% since last year. Is this what being pro-life looks like? Yeah. But wait, what does it matter? Are you lamenting the fact that they weren't aborted? I mean, what does it matter if they're like aborted or if they don't make it outside the womb? Like, isn't that where you stand on stuff? I mean, that's the party that actually voted to deny care to infants who survive attempted abortions. So what is the point of this? This is so goofy. Can they even make it to the hospital in California without being mugged? Can that even happen? Or without stepping on a hypodermic needle? I'm just wondering.
I just don't understand how they can attribute the increase, if there is one, which I haven't even really seen the data broken down.
It's a stupid story.
To some sort of abortion restriction. Like, I don't understand how that's even logically possible.
Yeah,
but
what restriction is doing this? I mean, it's, you know, kind of begs the question here. But they were saying, oh, these more infants are dying because of the abortion restriction. Like, wait, what? That doesn't make any sense. It is such a bad story. They said that they're talking about the infant mortality rate. And so they're arguing that, well, if the moms can't kill them, they're going to die anyway. What? That doesn't make any sense. Now, here's the stupid part. This is buried four graphs in. You ready?
Oh, boy.
Here's the real truth of it.
Oh, boy.
Quote, the increase, because it was a 3%, they said it was an estimated 3% increase in fatality rate for infants. Okay, so here's, they write, quote, the increase in deaths could partly be explained by the fact that more babies are being born in Texas.
What?
Yeah.
Journalism.
That's why. So, actually, like, per capita, it sounds like it went down even. Because
yeah.
If it's an estimated 3% increase, but yet you have a more children being born, then, wow. But they ran with it. Do you see, are these, I would love to know how old the chick is who wrote this story. I am fascinated. Well, clearly she didn't do any math. She can't do math. I mean, it is one of the dumbest things I've ever read. And she's like, I'm a producer of CNN's. I found her on Twitter. We're going to have fun with this. Yeah, we're going to totally have fun with it. This is one of the dumbest stories I've ever seen. They hide the fact that, well, it's because a ton more babies are being born. The way that they position, the way that they posted it and they pushed the story is that this is like somehow, it's so goofy that the number of children being born hasn't increased, but the fatalities have. That's the way it was presented, right? That's how they presented it. No, it's, golly. Kane says he blames the clot shot.
I think I blame the vax schedule for kids under 1 year. I mean, have you seen it now?
It's
when I was a kid, there was like 5 or 6. Now it's like 40. It's ridiculous.
I remember kind of going back and forth a little with our pediatrician when my oldest was young. Because it's like, here's 19, 11 shots in one day. And I'm like, can we space these out? Because they have fevers. And there were some that I was like, there's no reason for him to have this at this age. Especially any kind of like STD related anything. Like we don't need to be doing this when he's like 7. This is stupid. There's a lot. It's gotten, I think, easier now for parents to push back on that stuff, but it was like World War II, World War III when I was arguing with our pediatrician about it. So, but I'm just saying, you know, if they can say this, we can definitely say that. And there's probably more evidence. There's more evidence with ours. Just saying. Some of the other things that we're watching as well. I'm sure this is just totally a coincidence. So do you remember I said that the FBI earlier, as they were telling social media that the laptop that they had in their possession, the Hunter Biden laptop, that it wasn't real. They were telling social media that it wasn't real even when they had it. Apparently, and this is the kicker, they were telling Twitter that the laptop was actually legit on the day of, allegedly, they informed Twitter that the Hunter Biden laptop was real on the day that the New York Post story broke. You know, the New York Post story that I was suspended from Twitter for writing about on my Substack and posting the link. And I got suspended for that because it mentioned the New York Post story. And they were telling Twitter, oh, but it is real. So I was suspended for a real story.
Yeah.
I was actually censored by the government.
You were?
Mm-hmm. I can actually put that on all of my social media bios. So can you guys? Censored by the government. My free speech rights were curtailed.
Yeah.
I was throttled. I still am. I know that they're still working through all of the algorithms and all of that stuff. There's just certain things, weird things that happen. Like it'll get really bad and then it'll get better and then it'll get bad again and then better. It's weird.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
People can't just disagree like anymore. Like, you know, and just disagree and leave it at that. It's in Hillsborough County, Florida, a man is in the hospital. After a Florida man is accused of stabbing and lighting him on fire.
Hey.
And then, yeah, This was apparently just, it was this week. Deputies and a fire crew found a man with upper body trauma and severe burns. He was taken to Tampa General in critical condition. The victim was stabbed and beaten and then set on fire. He was identified as 53-year-old Donnie Adams. And he left, or he said Adams, they said Adams left before officials arrived. He told officials he was planning on committing suicide. And then he got onto the Skyway Bridge. Deputies tried to get him to come out. This was just wild. He ended up arguing with them, wasn't going to listen to them. This is a whole big thing. But they said that with this, hang on, with the story, I mean, his burns were so severe, they had to actually dunk him in the water. Like he was, yeah, he was like arguing with people. He had that when they got there. This is just a crazy story. And it's a poorly written one as well. An arrest warrant was issued for the guy who he was arguing with, who ended up attacking him for first degree murder and arson. Yeah, they never said anything about the perp. Really, that was it. Also, let's see here. This guy, Jiminy Christmas. A Florida man sues Disney because he said he for $50,000, he said he took a fall, a scary fall off a ride. This was at the Walt Disney World Resort. According to the lawsuit, Billy Williams. Your name is William Williams?
Yeah. Steven Stevens.
Billy Williams, okay, from Orange County. He said he was trying to board the Haunted Mansion ride. Now, the Haunted Mansion ride, wait a minute. What kind of ride is that?
Doesn't that go upside down?
I don't know. I don't know anything about the rides that they have there. I haven't been there. And for isn't it like a little kiddie ride? Don't they have like little buggies?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, how do you fall out and take, how do you take a big fall out of it? It's like little buggies and it's like a little track. And I don't think you go up, you just go through like a haunted house. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
That's all it is. How do you fall out of that and hurt yourself? How do you fall out? I mean, it's a little buggy. Anyway, that's what happens to this guy. He fell off the ride and hit the ground. He said he suffered severe and permanent injuries. He's suing for $50,000. Disney has not yet commented. Now, I kind of think it might be legit if it's only $50,000 that he's suing for, you know? But it, depending on what his injuries are. But still, it's like, how do you fall out of that ride? It's like a baby ride. It's like a family ride, apparently. So it just goes real slow through there. There's no, like, I don't know. This from NBC Miami. It's on video. A video shows a meat thief pulling a knife on a West Miami supermarket manager. It happened at the Tropical Supermarket in Miami. And they said they're apparently searching for him. He was caught on camera. And it happened around 9 p.m. The store manager approached this guy because he saw the suspect just loading like meat into a backpack. And so gross. And when the manager approached him, they exchanged words. And when the manager tried to stop him, that's when the perp pulled out a pocket knife and lunged at him. And he said he made a statement in the sense of go ahead and call the police, as something to that effect, the manager said. And so the guy kept, you know, continued putting meat in his backpack, left the store, hopped on a bicycle and fled. It was all captured on surveillance footage. And so they said they think he lives close by because he came and left on a bike. So, I don't know. Just find out who's having a barbecue. I'm just saying, just going to shove the meat in your backpack. A Florida woman stole a fire truck after impersonating a firefighter. See, this is what happens when you demand other people affirm your false self-perception, stuff like this. So this woman, who's to tell her that she's not a firefighter? Shut up. It's ma'am. A Florida woman is accused of stealing a fire truck and impersonating a firefighter. The county sheriff's office for a county I can't pronounce said this 44-year-old woman took off with a fire truck. She spent the night in the Wellborn Volunteer Fire Department station. When the fire chief literally went out to respond to a call, the truck was gone. And that's when they got a call from the woman saying that she stole it. And then she ran out of gas 10 miles away. She needed help. And they tracked her down and she said, oh, no, I'm a volunteer firefighter. Deputies determined they'd never seen this broad before. And she was not on the official. She was not on the roster and therefore not authorized to use the truck. So she was booked. On charges of grand theft and fraud impersonating a firefighter. Now, wait a minute. How can, you know, if she wanted to impersonate a dude, she could. Can't impersonate a firefighter,
excuse me,
though.
It's ma'am. It is ma'am.
Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
When I took office, I set a goal of producing 30 gigawatts of offshore energy wind by 2030. 30 gigawatts is enough to power 10 million homes. Now, help put us on a path to 100% clean energy by 2035. By 2035, all of electricity you turn in is all going to be clean energy.
I just got that 180 song in my head now. except it's pure energy. That's what I think. Welcome back to the show. That's Grandpa Simpson. President Joe Biden. Is that that? Wait, Kane was just, first off, welcome back to the show. Top of the third hour. Happy Friday to you. What did you say that offshore research was killing?
Yeah, they were
the
doing
whales?
Research on offshore, how to build the infrastructure for this type of thing. Mm-hmm. And whales were just washing up on the shore.
You mean to tell me that if you put giant blenders in the ocean, that whales might?
It's crazy how that works.
It's crazy. Wow. So wow. Much whoa. I can't. By 2035, what does he mean by clean energy? What clean energy? What, you know, clean energy?
The energy that kills eagles and whales.
The energy that China would... Wait, so you don't want to dig for coal, but you're going to dig for cobalt and copper and lithium and all of that other stuff, and it's very dangerous to do that, and we have no way to do it, so we would have to have China do all of it, that stuff?
Yeah.
Really? That's not clean. It's just outsourced.
Well, it's clean because I can't see it. Therefore, it is clean.
It's like some real Beavis and Butthead logic there. Good heavens. So, Joe Biden, talking about clean energy, which they would actually make a lot of money on, because remember, it was Hunter Biden's firm that helped China acquire that big cobalt mine in Democratic Republic of Congo. Don't forget that. Speaking of the Bidens, you know they're filing... Let me pull the story up. They're trying to go up Marjorie Taylor Greene. They're mad at her because she was showing sexual images. S-E-C-K-S-H-U-L. Sexual. Sexual images. When she showed Hunter Biden's pictures that were censored. So I've seen people say that, oh, she technically was sending that to minors and all this other stuff. Oh, please run with that. Because then we can talk about them books that y'all love so much. The lawyer for Hunter Biden filed an ethics complaint against her today, requesting that an ethics watchdog immediately initiate a review of her conduct after she showed explicit photos that Biden had posted at large online at a congressional hearing this week, because we were all wondering if those were the hookers that Joe paid for.
Right.
This dude is such trash. You know, they always make fun of her and they were saying that she was a redneck and white trash and all that. Like Hunter Biden and his people. I know, right? I mean, she has all her teeth. So, yeah, I said it. In a letter to the Office of Congressional Ethics, Biden attorney Abby David Lowell slammed Green's actions as, quote, abhorrent behavior. It violates health ethics rules, standards of official conduct. Wait, what violates house ethics rules? Ethics and standards of, you mean snorting coke and banging hookers and having dad with his laundered Chinese money pay for it? You mean like storing your top secret stuff in a garage with your crackhead son? Just wondering, like, well, what part? I mean, if you had to measure it against official conduct, is it a level getting with your brother's late wife or your late brother's wife, or is it driving 172 miles per hour with your brother's state tag when he was AG, his ID badge, in a rental car while you're high on cocaine and filming it and posting it? I mean, if on a scale of, you know, from that to that, where is it? Where does it fall? I'm just curious. I like that she showed it. And the madder they get, the more I like it. I like that she showed those images so much that I forgive her for that rap video. I'm not talking about it because they were like, guys, you want to play it? Do you want to play it, Dan? I'm like, I don't want to play it. I mean, no, I'm not, you know, throwing any shade. I'm not going to sit here and toss like-minded people under the bus, but you guys know what I'm talking about. I can't stop it. I'm not, come on. No, no. She was in it and she was like the Ric Flair of the video. That's what Kane said. And she sat in the throne and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? What is this? We don't have to, don't play the song, I'll die. But I mean, you can show a video, but come on. I don't want to be mean because I don't want to be like mean to the dude. I just didn't like it. And I saw this and I was like, this is so bad. But, and it was a song about Marjorie Taylor Greene and they had her sitting in a throne. And I thought, this is cringe. You know what? I don't care anymore because she showed those videos at the hearing. She gets a pass. She gets an IDGAF pass.
I
Now, I don't know how long that's going to go for. I'd say about a good three months. She has a good three-month pass. She can do whatever she wants now because she showed those images, didn't even care. She Ric Flaired it up. I don't care. She can do whatever she wants. You got to pass. You got to pass, MTG. You got to pass. So I forgive her for that video. I forgive her for that. She made good. That's what we call in the biz a make good. She made good.
Woo!
Woo! So the and now they're going after her for this, which I think is funny. This is not gonna really, because how stupid is this? They're gonna file an ethics complaint and turn this into a bigger story. You know what would be funny is if everybody showed those images every time they went on TV. Just saying. Or like have it as a shirt, the censored parts. Like, where's Hunter or something like that? Or got crack or something, you know? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, if you put the call out, the Redditors will respond. You know, the memers love it. It's like, that's reporting for duty. They'll show up. They'll see a need. They'll fill the need. But if they really want to keep dragging this out and make, that's the way to do it. That's going to make it not go away even slower. It's going to... The standards of conduct. Hunter Biden. Does he know what... I mean, how can he file... Here's a question. How can he actually file a complaint about violations of ethics and standards of conduct when he can't define it himself?
No. Good question.
Yeah. I'm confused. I'm a little confused. So...
And didn't they try to use the revenge porn argument with her as well?
Yeah.
Like, how stupid is that?
Yeah, they were trying to say that somehow they tried to accuse her of sending it to minors because it was on C-SPAN. And then they tried to accuse her of, revenge porn.
What she showed was redacted. What she showed was edited.
Yeah, and as I said, the images that she showed were censored. The images in the kids' books that they're trying to push in the kids' books are not. Like, the one that she showed, the vertical one, where it was him and that lady, or female, that was just like the image in Genderqueer.
Yeah.
That wasn't censored. That was in middle school libraries. And I mean, not just online, but like physically on the shelves. So, yeah, when the kids were bringing them home, the parents were like, what is this? And that's how parents got mad. I'm just saying, you know, if you don't want those images in Congress and on TV, maybe you shouldn't have them in kids' libraries. I'm just, you know, just saying. Just, you know, there were a lot of bots on social media that were arguing that that didn't exist. I noticed that there was a significant number of bots, all with brand new accounts, and they were all saying the same thing. I caught one of them saying verbatim back to back the same thing. And I screenshotted it, and because like one of them had 35,000, it was only created in like the beginning of this year, and it had 30,000 something. And when you look at their followers, it was all very similar new accounts. That's somebody puts in a lot of effort on that. That was a lot of effort. All right, a few more things to hit. We've been discussing everything from which I think is the biggest. The hearings I think were the absolute biggest things to hit today and or this week. I think they are the absolute biggest things that we've seen, and they've been buried. In fact, they weren't any really, there was not a lot of discussion about them even last night. And I'm looking at Media Research Center, and they've been collecting and watching a lot of this, by the way. They've been watching a lot of it and trying to show and taking screenshots of whether it's CNN's page or Washington Post page, et cetera, to show that, I mean, none of these people are watching this, not at all. So they're trying to bury it. And ultimately, you know, really that's all kind of the GOP can do right now because they don't control the Senate. I mean, they can vote for impeachment for Merrick Garland, et cetera. They can vote for impeachment. They can vote for impeachment of Joe Biden. The Senate is the one that tries impeachment. The Senate with Chuck Schumer's not going to do it. The other thing, too, that you want to be aware of is, and I saw this, too, they're trying to focus. The president made a statement today. He tweeted, Karine Jean-Pierre had retweeted what he had said. He made the remark saying, quote, realizing the promise of AI by managing the risks is going to require new laws, regulation, and oversight. He says, in the weeks ahead, I'm going to continue to take executive action to help America lead the way towards responsible innovation. Here's one of the reasons why you absolutely have to have the Senate. Do you want Chuck Schumer and Democrats writing the law on AI?
Hell no.
Let me put it like this. Do you want Chuck Schumer to control Skynet? Put it like that. I think that's a legitimate way to put it.
Yeah. Accurate.
Yeah. Do you want them controlling Skynet? Because that's what this is. Yeah. Exactly what this is. Yeah, I would say no. I would say, so that's another reason why it's incredibly important to win the Senate. You have to win the Senate. And there's some seats we're going to be focusing on here coming up that we're really going to have to put the effort in on. And also, too, because that way, if there's any kind of move to impeach and the Senate can try it, then you can actually, you know, even if you don't gain the White House, you can still control that aspect of it. At this point, the only thing that the House can do is try to control the money. But then you got to be careful to control the power of the purse, because then it could develop into a narrative that hurts them in the election. And then you end up actually working against your own strategy. So it's a delicate balancing contest for sure. The big thing, too, I think that Florida did right. We started off the program with this. DeSantis called for the state investment manager to consider action against Bud Light's company because, you know, Florida pensions. They have $235 billion in pension investments. That's a great tool to use as leverage in this. He said they may consider a derivative lawsuit against AB InBev. And that's when shareholders file it on behalf of the company against, you know, the corporation. If they you know, didn't make good on what they said they would with their duties, that's a pretty significant thing. I mean, they ended up hurting their shareholders with their woke actions, the ESG stuff. The company's stock price has fallen from 66 to 58 a share. And it climbed only up a little bit. It had the lowest at $44. So it's up a little bit. And that would be, because he said this before. He said that in 2022, he was threatening to hold Twitter shareholders accountable if they didn't allow the purchase of Twitter to go through with Musk. Because that's when you had the left was trying to block it. This is I think it's an aggressive and it's the right move to make. I think you're going to have to. Other governors need to follow suit and start doing this. Because these are the punches you got to take.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a new study says that marriage, two out of five young adults think that the tradition no longer matters. A new survey. They said it's 85% that said that you don't necessarily need to get married to have a fulfilling and committed relationship. It's the Thriving Center of Psychology. What an interesting name. They said that more women than men have this view of marriage. I think that this is... Pew, though, they did a study that showed 1 in 4 out of 40-year-olds had never walked down the aisle. They said 34% of people 15 years and older have never been... Well, duh, 15 years and old. Never been married as of 2022. In 1950, that number is 23%. Probably because of the attacks on marriage and how culture makes fun of it and everything else. Probably. I'm still like pretty sus over the, I don't know. I think this is sus. This whole, the way that they, the extreme in terms of that number, I think it's less than that, but I don't doubt that it's increased. Also this story, NASA enters the home stretch in its mission to reach, I read somewhere else this was quintillion, but this is quadrillion. It's a 10,000 quadrillion dollar asteroid that's packed full of precious metals, and they have this mission to launch this, I guess this like it's called the 16 Psyche space rocket. They want to, I guess, try to see if they can put something on it to think, you know, just is it just hard rock, how many precious metals is it, etc., like if it gets, I don't know. It sounds like I think we saw a movie starring Bruce Willis about this. They said it's packed full of precious metals. It has the excess value of 10,000 quadrillion dollars. Now, others say it's just a hard rock. But when the spacecraft launches in fewer than 100 days, It'll get to the asteroid in 4 years' time. Then NASA will be able to tell. But I know. I want to claim it for me. And then that's because that sounds like that would be a good idea to do that. Claim it for myself. And a Marine exposed UFO encounters, but he's saying that men in black are after him now. Stay with us.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
John, this got a lot of attention. It got picked up in a lot of places. Why is it so hard to understand what the president is trying to say there?
I think he was very, very clear, Martha. First of all, our commitment to Israel's security is ironclad, not going to change. That doesn't mean that we don't have concerns. He doesn't have concerns, and he's expressed those, about the significant changes that are afoot in the democratic institutions inside Israel. And the president spoke about that honestly with Prime Minister and with the president of Israel.
Nobody knew what he was saying because he mumbled through it so bad that we just... It had no idea. I mean, nobody knew what he was saying. Literally, he just sat there and he looked like he was asleep. He just...
And we brought Israelis and Palestinians together at a political level. And Akwa and the whole Shram.
So clear. Totally understood that, right? Yeah. My gosh, totally understood that. Good heavens. Welcome back to the program. Happy Friday to you as we get rolling into the weekend. And that, yeah, see, you don't want that administration regulating AI. I was telling you this. That's terrifying. So a few other things I want to make sure that we're hitting here as we wrap up our Friday program. We've been talking about a number of things. I have two separate... The first one that I wanted to get to was this one story that I had related to tech. Because you heard that yesterday I had the headline how Elizabeth Warren is pushing, she sent a letter to SEC demanding that they investigate Elon Musk because she thinks that apparently he can't own Twitter and Tesla and she worries about Tesla shareholders. She didn't worry when he owned, you know, she didn't do any of this with Neuralink. Or the Boring Company. Only Twitter. Only Twitter. She was only upset with that. So now, in a fun turn of events, Musk is taking on Warren. He's going to force her to disclose her contacts with the FTC and SEC. It's going to be a fight. He turned the tables on her. Because he's telling her she has to disclose her details about her discussions with SEC to try to push them into demanding an investigation of Musk and carrying that out. Lawyers for Twitter notified a federal court Thursday that they're subpoenaing her. They sent her a subpoena. Yeah. Turn over all her communications with the SEC. This is via Politico. All her communications with the SEC and Federal Trade Commission in recent months, including... those related to the letter that she sent on Monday to SEC Chair Gary Gensler, claiming that the Tesla board has failed to address the potential harms that Musk's controversial role as the head of Twitter has caused for the company. You really think she's concerned? No, she's not concerned. She's being a bully. Now, I don't know what they're going to do if they get access to her information. I don't even know if there's anything in there that would show, you know, impropriety. And normally, lawmakers don't really give out their internal conversations or contacts. And it's really something that I don't think that they really ordered that kind of disclosure. But this is different, though. So with the nature of her claim, I mean, it might be. Who knows? Now, it's in connection. So the subpoena to Warren was issued in connection with the case going on in San Francisco. And that's where you have the DOJ and the FTC. They were trying to enforce these orders, these consent orders. This was like going back to 2011. That was way before Twitter was sold to Musk. relating to the claims about Twitter's privacy protections for its users. And so he had asked a judge last week, and this is via the House Judiciary, to modify or wipe out those consent orders, saying that they have empowered overreach and the by the FTC targeting Twitter's new CEO. And he's looking to block the feds from forcing him into a deposition related to the case. Now, they've agreed to hold off until a judge rules on the request. So there's, I think they're going to have a hearing on that in November because it's an old case. But that's interesting. So I don't, this is, you know, she's abusing her authority here. And I think it's significant, and I'm sure that the judge would consider this. Wouldn't you think so? That, well, where was your concern for the other companies and the boards of the other companies that he also owns? I mean, that to me seems like that would be significant for a judge to include in there, in his ultimate determination. Now, a few other things. We've been looking at some of the, I saw this, Biden might drop out of the race. I don't know. He's going to run until he can. They're going to make him run. But I do think that at some point, as more information comes out, it's going to be more and more difficult, I think, for Democrats to, I think, be successful in the shadow of all of the scandals that Biden has. I mean, he's the incumbent. He's supposed to have coattails, and he's an anchor. Remember, that's kind of how it was for Barack Obama. Barack Obama never had coattails. And in fact, at the last election, people were actively running away from him. They did not want to campaign with him. And it's kind of sort of turning the same with Biden. It's turning the same with him. Have you seen, like, speaking of that, what is up with all these Democrats posting Barbie stuff? This marketing for this movie is out of control. There's a rumor that they're getting paid for it. This one guy who I've never heard before, Gutierrez somebody, he's a big old Democrat out of San Antonio, and he literally posted a photo of himself in pink with the Barbie logo over it, and he said this Ken is running to beat Ted Cruz. He called himself a Ken, and he's got is that a, apparently it's not a parody account. Oh, that's a real, and then it was Gretchen Whitmer, Big Gretch. She posted a Barbie thing too. Do you honestly think that they're getting paid to promote that? Really? You do. Kane thinks they're getting paid.
There's a ton of marketing money that goes into movies. And
but
I guarantee
politicians?
You, yeah. And I would imagine Democrat politicians especially are having a hard time raising money. I don't doubt that they took deals like this to merge the two, the campaigning and earning a little money off promotion. I wouldn't be surprised to see that that's true.
Somebody asked me, a friend of mine asked me if I was going to see this movie.
Barbie?
And I just looked at her, and I didn't say anything for a good 60 seconds. And it made everything really uncomfortable.
That's the proper response.
It is the proper response. I'm like, no, I'm not going to see. But apparently, it's by all accounts, it's like a big old hate the patriarchy movie. Of course it would be. I mean, leave it to Hollywood to try to rehash some stupid narrative from the 60s. And good heavens, it could have been fun and you know, cute. But whenever you start putting female empowerment in it, as a woman and as someone who has grown up with this whole shtick of female empowerment, which is a total lie of a sell, because it's not about empowerment, it's about subjugation. They call the subjugation empowerment. If you like living under bigger government, if you like being dependent upon the government and not being independent, if you like getting everything from your birth control to whatever from the government, then you're empowered. I mean, I just don't believe that. That's the dumbest thing. That's the line being sold. I've grown up with this, and it's like they still do the same thing. They're still doing the same thing. It's so boring. It's boring. I don't like, because I'm a fidget, right? I'm a little hyperactive. I cannot stand. Torture for me is having to sit in a dark room and watch a bad movie. Be held captive in a dark room with only one screen and being captive to whatever's on that screen. I only will watch a movie if I want to watch it and if I think it's good. And I won't go to a theater unless I'm pretty damn sure it's going to be great. I've only seen two movies in the theater in the past 3 years, 3.5 years. Top Gun, John Wick. That's it. Because everything else is trash. Well, then there's the movie, the trafficking movie. I have a kind of a packed weekend, but I'd make an exception for that. But for the most part, and I mean, actually buy a ticket even if I don't go to see it. I'll buy a ticket just to support it. But it's just hard to sit in the theater. You know what? And then I'm like looking for something to do. I got to fidget. I got to do something. It has to be so good that I'm totally engrossed in it. Barbie is not that movie. And it's annoying. Greta Gerwig and all this like girl power crap. I'm so tired. It's cringe. It's cringe. Stop it. And apparently that's what the whole thing of the whole purpose. The people I know who've seen it said, yeah, that, oh gosh, no. Uh-uh. Nope. What a letdown for chick flicks, right? It's just boring. It's counterculture to embrace like traditional roles that celebrate everything that women can do that men can't. But now it's like, oh, we got to celebrate women trying to do everything that men have been able to do. That's how we ignore all of our unique traits and all of our, you know, our own sex inherent superpowers. And we've got to do everything and measure it by what men do. I can't stand that. So no, I'm not going to go see the Barbie movie. Oppenheimer looks good though. I'm not going to see it in a theater. I may wait till it comes out, but I'm not going to go see it in a theater. No, and I'm not like with striking. Although I do think that they have the actors and writers, I do think that there's a good point that they're making about the AI stuff. Justine Bateman, who's Jason Bateman's sister. Do you guys remember Justine Bateman? She was on Mallory on Family Ties. And I think she's been in a couple of other things. But she actually went into programming and software engineering and all of that. She got a degree. She's like a science nerd. Yeah. And she she lives in California. The last time she came up in the news was she was signing a form to recall Gavin Newsom. She sounds pretty libertarian. And she came out with this explainer. She didn't really touch on any of the other stuff that they were striking on, but she ran up a really good argument for the concerns that they have for AI. Because apparently it's developed faster than the contracts can change and things can change, and it got a little bit out of hand, and so now their talent is trying to play catch up. And I will say this, like, I know a lot of people, you know, they talk about rich actors, and guaranteed, you know, I totally get you on that. Like Fran Drescher with her, you know, she's bitching about this or that, and she's got this big old Malibu mansion, you know, I get it. But there are a lot of other people, like some of the other talent, voice talent, writers, etc., that are going to get caught up in this that don't make that kind of money. And not all of them are, you know, Hollywood progressives. And I think it does set a precedence for how AI can be used in everything, not just in entertainment, but like everyday stuff that ultimately you could be affected by but not even know, right? Like, I mean, I just think of like social media stuff with images. I mean, if you post images on social media, does that become like public domain? And is there like an argument for AI on that? And then they're scraping that public content and then they're using your like. I mean, there's something to be said for all of this. And, you know, using some of these platforms, is that like consent? I mean, you see what I'm saying? She wrote a really good, she had like 3 posts about it. And I sent these out, or these are going to go out in a piece. But she had a really good write-up about why that aspect in particular is kind of important, and that's why people need to pay attention. She said, because it's really the last chance to actually remedy it. And when I was reading her piece, remember how I said, do you want Chuck Schumer regulating AI? I actually would trust the creators and people to immediately set their limitations on AI before Congress. And I felt like she was intimating that without saying it in her piece. So, very interesting.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Today, we announced the first ever offshore wind sail in the Gulf of Mexico. We're going to the Gulf. Think I'm kidding? Ain't seen nothing yet.
What? Yeah, what in the world's going on? No, that's, you can't see nothing yet. Oh my gosh. No, that's so bad. No. this, make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, because I'm going to put some of this stuff on AI and entertainment. I think Bateman is probably one of the, we were talking about Justine Bateman. I know, right? Jason Bateman's sister, she's Mallory. She had a series of tweets. She had a piece in Newsweek about this. And so I was asking Kane on break, I'm like, so at what point do we not have studios anymore and we just have AI companies?
Right.
And he's like, now?
Yeah.
It's like so right
close.
Now?
I think it's super close.
And there's no legal precedent for so much of this. So Bateman was saying that that's the part of the strike that actually kind of that makes sense. And she has a background literally in programming and software. So she's like a, you know, she's a tech nerd. And I say that not as a pejorative. But she like got into exactly, you know, the algorithms and this is what happens and this is what how the licensing works with us. This is the licensing now. This is how it all works. And she says that this is the last chance for creators to really protect their likeness like this, because I mean, it is crazy how fast this has changed just in the past decade. And now that we've gotten this far, how much more refined it gets by the day. And at first it was really cool. Now it's just kind of terrifying at this point. But she made some really good points on all of this, and I'll make sure I send that out. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, Joe Biden, he had a few today. But this one is when he walked in to give his remarks on artificial intelligence. He literally says, I'm the AI. I'm not kidding. Listen to this.
I'm the AI.
he would be.
Yeah. I don't think any of his intelligence is real. It's all artificial.
Super scare. Goodness. So,
thank you, POTUS.
Yeah. All right. That does it for us this week, folks. Make sure you sign up for Substack, Chapter and Verse. That goes out to you regularly. And also, find us on Facebook, find us on YouTube. You can find our past discussions, all that good stuff. Have a wonderful weekend. I will be back behind the mic with you on Monday.